listen and soak it in.
You're tapped into the Fantasy Pipeline with Dan and Mike from South Harmon, the show built to uncover tomorrow's dynasty stars today.
Sanders in a pocket. Oh, what a catch! Travis Hunter! Give him the Heisman now! Number four. On third and five. Howard will throw it underneath. Oh, it's picked off! Down the sideline! Unbelievable touchdown! Penn State! Zion Tracy! Toward the end zone! For the game! It is! Caught by Wister! Just like 1994!
Everybody, welcome in to the second episode of the Fantasy Pipeline. I'm Dan, and you can follow me on Twitter at Draft Prospects. And my co-host here today is the one and only Tear Down King himself, Mike. How you doing today, Mike?
What's good, everybody? We're back. Episode two.
Yeah.
I didn't cancel Dan right off the rip, so we're good. I let him back for one more. Nah, I'm doing good, man. Just got this Chapel Bill. Is that what we're going to call it? Chapel Bill, North Carolina game up. Started off pretty damn good for him. I got excited. Yeah. It's kind of all been downhill since.
Expect nothing less.
Hey, you can't win them all, man. It probably helps if you don't throw pick six. It's a good start.
Fair. So, man, we had a crazy first week, bro. We haven't talked since week zero, technically, but that went down, and now week one is officially almost in the books.
It is, man.
Tonight, we're done.
Way too much defense for my liking.
Bro, facts. Well, at least in the important games. The other games, there was no defense.
Well, yeah, when you play cupcakes, you know, like when they played any semi-competent teams, just across the board, like the matchups I actually wanted to watch where it wasn't versus, you know, sister of St. Mary's Culinary School.
Facts.
Too much defense for my liking. But it's early season. Happens. Defense is across the board, right? We're going to have the same kind of disappointment, I think, come Sunday in the NFL season. First one, you're like, we're ready for football and fantasy points. And just defense, shrug fest.
Yeah, it's guys getting back into it, too. Sometimes it's their first time in the system, so they're all ironing out their kinks, and sometimes, you know, I mean, beating up on bad competition helps you do that, though. So
I hear you're not supposed to kink shame.
Oh,
speaking of ironing out kinks. Get it? Ha, that's pun.
Yeah, you got jokes today. You got jokes. Awesome.
I do. I got a few.
So I think I wanted to start off today with the top moments of the week. So I got a few. I don't know if you have a few that you could think of off the top of your head, but the first one I want to talk about is South Florida smashing Boise State, making Byron Brown looking like prime Vic out there. Like, what would you think about that one?
I was so excited too. I'm a notorious Boise State hater. I'm a notorious group of five, you know, hater. All right. They don't belong.
Hey, yo, I mean, that's a bit harsh.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm a purist. I want the power four teams in the college football playoff. So with the talk about, Boise might make another run, they could be the best, you know, group of five team and be back in the playoffs. Thank God that's over. All right. That took 1 week. I don't have to hear about Maddox Madsen ever again. Perfect. That offense was disgusting. He's a terrible quarterback. Gaines was supposed to be like the dude, right? The Genty replacement. No.
Yeah.
No. Byron Brown, that was fun to watch. Byron Brown was fun to watch. Like that's not an NFL quarterback, but that is the kind of college quarterback you like to watch because he just beats up on smaller people.
Although if he plays Boise State every time, then you know he might make it.
Deeth could be good for C2C purposes.
That's fair. That's fair. What about my boys, OSU taking on Texas?
The headline, not to shit on your OSU. Good victory for you guys right off the rip. Good victory for you. Arch Manning. Wah, wah, wah. I mean, Jesus. Jesus, that was...
I mean, it's hard to shit on a dude who's barely played. So, I mean...
I know you try to give him credit in the Discord. You're like, hey, you know, first start against Ohio State. I'm like, by the way, this is his third start.
First road start. My bad. But, this is his third start. It's a rough team. That's a rough team to play. Game one.
I expected a hell of a lot more. I'm not saying he had to go out for 350 and four, but... you know, just by my calculations, I watched him make three good throws all game. Three. And then it was promptly followed up by a couple terrible ones to lose the game. So, yikes. I mean, he literally started that game off by skipping a pass, like a 10-yard out on a rollout. It was, what the? Okay, jitters. All right. Yeah. And then that interception he threw was, oh, my God. Man, that's the kind of passes Brock Purdy makes in the NFL, but he's got that horseshoe up his ass, so the defenders usually drop him. There was no way. There was no way that OSU defender was dropping that. He looked like the intended receiver, so Arch played like shit. Sain was... So I thought he'd be worse. And there for a while, I thought he'd be a lot worse. And then he actually kind of surprised me, man. I think you guys might have found something with Sain. He looked pretty easy.
He didn't look horrible. That's for sure. I was pleasantly surprised as well.
Jeremiah Smith doing absolutely nothing. That sucked.
Damn.
I mean, he did. I guess sorry. He didn't do absolutely nothing. He dropped a lot of balls. Okay, he did that. Did that very well. And then, listen, I'm on an island here, but Carnell Tate, my wide receiver one of this class.
Okay.
I thought he was gonna have a bigger game, but still, that 40-yard touchdown catch, that route, that catch. Double catch, by the way. He should have got it clean on the first time. But, hey, end results, all that matters. I liked what I saw from Cardinal Tate week one.
So that's a little spicy there, wide receiver one. But, I mean, I like it.
That kid's got skills, man. He's just been overshadowed every single year.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with that wide receiver room he's been a part of, it's, I mean, they're elite. So don't really blame him too much.
What'd you think of C.J. Donaldson? I always have a soft spot for big fat running backs. Like I just do. Like I'm built like a big fat running back. I was a big fat running back. I like chunky monkeys back there carrying the load. You know, that's why I like Chip Traynham so damn much, even though he's terrible. He's still playing college football, but he's still not the
same as him. I mean, I don't really care.
He looked like he got a little more juice though. He got a little pep in his step.
Yeah.
CJ Baxter being back. That was good to see.
That was cool. That was nice to see. Yeah. Finally.
I mean, literally, first game back, he looked 10 times better than Trey Wisner.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought Wisner's been ass for a while, but people love him, whatever the fuck it is. I don't know.
I haven't loved him. I thought he hasn't been bad as some people dunk on him, though. I thought he's been okay.
He's been okay. Okay.
Yeah. But, and then God, if I'm Baxter. Looking for CFF production, then okay's good enough.
Okay's good enough. You're not going to get NFL production, though. No, probably not. That's like a round six pick if I've ever seen one, you know? Like that Jordan James-esque at best. Yes,
I agree.
No, I like Baxter being back. But like I said, the whole – it was kind of just a boring game. Like the anticipation leading up to it was supposed to be all this, and then it's like 14-7 is what we get.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's – You get so excited for those games, but then also at the end result, you're also like, I'm not really surprised. That was an elite defense, two of them, and it goes that way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was kind of just the story across the board for the big time matchups this week.
But also, also trying not to lose. You know what I mean? It's 1-3. You're not trying to be that guy.
I don't want to make any wild proclamations on Arch, but. Listen, a lot of people, you know, if they did a C2C startup this year, that might have been the 101 pick right there for a lot of people. And that's not looking good so far. I'd say as it currently stands, there is no way he's coming out this year. Okay, as it currently stands. I'm not going to say it's impossible because he could really turn this around, or he might have had a shoulder injury or something. I saw people alluding to that he just didn't look right. So maybe he turns it around, but as it stands right now.
I mean, look at Matthew Golden in the last five games of the season.
Yeah.
Became a first round pick. So, I mean, it happens.
It happens. But yeah, that was probably my biggest takeaway from that game is Arch looked terrible.
Yeah, I agree. All right, next one. I don't know if you can control yourself, but how about your Florida State boys?
Oh, my God. I can confidently say I hate this in, pro sports. I really do. But, people who have multiple teams. But I alluded to it on this, talking with you. Florida State was one of my first loves. Peter Warwick being on the sideline, too. Oh, God. Bringing the hype, man. Well, shout out Peter Warwick. Probably one of the greatest collegiate wide receivers to ever live. Gets overlooked in the NFL because he was injured and he went to the Bengals. All right. But as the most explosive dude still to this day, I think I've watched play the wide receiver position. He was nuts. Think Percy Harvin, but, better and without the migraines.
All right. Okay.
Yeah. Florida State going out and smacking the shit out of Alabama was not on my bingo card right off the rip. But you've heard the murmurs, man, that this is not Nick Saban's Alabama, and Tommy Castellano said it. They don't have Nick Saban to save them. He wasn't lying, man. I love when dudes talk that shit and then go back it up. It's unlike Isaiah Bond, who said he was going to run like a 4.18. If you talk that shit, you better go back it up, and he backed it up, man. Tommy, I'm going to call him Tommy Football. That's what I'm doing. Tommy Football went out and balled. He balled. That whole Florida State team did. Kroma, the freshman running back, that boy looked good. That boy looks good. He looks like he's going to be something. And
I heard some Debbie people around the space just found out he existed.
Yeah, kind of weird. I don't know how you put Debbie in your name and not know who a guy was getting number drafted in third round. Yeah, well, whatever. it's another story. But Alabama, not good. Ryan Williams, this is like his sixth consecutive game without 100 yards.
Yeah.
It's
where's crazy. He playing next year?
I'm not going to be at Alabama.
I don't think so either.
It's not going to be out. You know what? He should just do the thing, right? He should transfer to Ohio State, be opposite of Jeremiah Smith, and Julian Sain will throw for 8,000 yards. Yeah, get paid. Yeah, might as well.
An NFL salary. And they'll go win the Natty.
Ty Simpson did not look good at all, man. At this point, I don't want to shit on him too much, but please just start Keelan Russell. If you're going to have another lost season, Alabama, you might as well start.
He didn't look horrible. That whole team just got beat up. And
they got bull raced.
Yeah, it just got ugly. And then they all it snowballed. It was bad.
For college football purposes, for CFF, man, Tommy Football could be putting up some real fucking points this year, man.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And that Gus Malzahn offense, too? Oh, my. Yeah. I mean, Miles Zahn has a history of taking nobody quarterbacks. Not that Tommy Football's a nobody, but you remember all them Auburn quarterbacks that Gus Miles Zahn made relevant. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh my God, Tommy Castellanos, let's go! Oh, I'm excited for the college production. I don't see an NFL future. It's kind of hard when you're listed at 5'11". That boy ain't 5'11" either. He's 5'9", if he's that. He's put together, though. He's bigger than Bryce Young, at least.
He's tiny.
Tiny guy. Yeah, I thought Florida State looked really good. Jalen Lucas, kind of nice little change of pace. Yeah, boy's got some juice. So you love to see that, man. Week one, they weren't fucking around. They went out and punched Alabama right in the mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. All right, it's what's it called? How about LSU knocking off Clemson?
Damn Clemson, man. Clemson gonna Clemson. You know what I mean? Cade Klubnik, some people had him as QB1, QB2. I know McShay definitely had him as QB2. I don't know, man. I just don't fucking see it with him. I just don't. You got weapons galore, Wesco, TJ Moore. I know Antonio Williams was banged up and didn't play for most of that game. He spent most of his time riding a bike on the sideline. But they got weapons up and down that fucking team. And LSU's defense made him look abysmal. He looked disgustingly bad. So, I don't know. It's either LSU's got a much better defense than we anticipated, or Cade Klubnik is really not him.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard with Klubnik. I mean, he's been a roller coaster career. It's been interesting. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think Nuss did enough. Like, it was a little bit worrisome to start the game. Mm-hmm. You know, I was like, oh man, this is kind of why I haven't really been in on Nussmeier. But you could really see it there. He made some fucking NFL throws where I was like, okay, I'm sorry, I doubted you, man. Like, Clemson's not a slouch on defense either. They got
a couple
first rounders on that defense too. Right. So. Nuss did his thing out there, which is kind of surprising. And again, another year where I got way too excited about maybe Caleb Jackson will do something. No, I'm pretty sure I can just drop him.
So. Oh, that Durham kid looks pretty good, though.
Yeah, he's not too bad. He's not too shabby.
Not too shabby. He's a little fast.
A little fast. And Marion Browning got fucking robbed, too, man. That was a touchdown.
Yeah. Bullshit. I missed that part.
Yeah. He got a touchdown and got overturned. No fucking way he should have been. Marion Brown.
That was like right when I was getting out of work was that game, and it was I watched parts of it. I was in and out though. Miami beating Notre Dame.
I did not see that. It's probably because I hate Carson Beck.
I barely watched it too, but it was a surprise. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't think they would have beat him. So that kind of shocked me. I was actually in the middle of a draft and at a birthday party, so I was peeking in on the scores. I didn't get to watch the game, but I did not expect Miami to beat them.
Credit to Notre Dame for coming back in that game, too, because it was getting out of hand pretty fucking quick, and they made it a ball game, a real tough one. I do got a question what the fuck was going on with Jeremiah Love. That's everybody's RB1 for this class. He's a superstar. At one point, I think we were in the fourth quarter, he had 4 carries. Either he was hurt or this is the biggest malpractice I've ever seen. Like, they've got a first-time starter in C.J. Carr, you know, which I thought C.J. Carr played pretty decent with all things considered, but you got a superstar running back in Jeremiah Love. How the fuck does he only have 4 carries going into the fourth quarter? You know, I don't – it's not like Miami was up, you know, 42 to nothing at halftime and he had to throw the ball a billion times. Like, there was no excuse for it. No excuse for it. Jadarian Price was out there. I got to say this, Price is probably the best number 2 running back in the entire fucking sport right now. Like, Jadarian Price should start for, you know, everything but maybe like 5 teams in college football. He's that good. So, damn. But still, like, what are we doing? Jeremiah Love, 4 carries. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah, especially when you're trying to get a big play or whatever, get back into a game, you'd think you'd have one of your most explosive athletes out there.
That was a guy, like, he didn't even look like he was injured, though. Like, every time he got the ball, you're like, okay, he's got the juice still, and then nothing. Wasn't like he was riding a bike on the sideline. I don't know what the fuck that was. That's probably the biggest surprise of the whole game, though. C2C, people take note. Malachi Toney, welcome to college fucking football, Mr. True Freshman.
Yeah, he looked pretty good.
Now, don't let the last name fool you, all right? Don't get all disappointed because you're like, oh, I remember the last Tony that played down in the state of Florida.
I'm a little scarred from it, so, you know.
Put that shit out of your mind. Malachi Tony, completely different. This guy can run routes and catch balls. He looked good, man. He looked really good.
Being a Giants fan, it hurts me seeing that name.
Miami's going to be fucking scary, too, because they can run the football. Mark Fletcher's a big bruiser. Jordan Lyles, okay. This new guy that they got, Shamar Brown, looked pretty good, too. But Carson Beck was like 2 years ago Carson Beck. That's how well he was playing. I mean, he looks goofy as shit. He looks like a future Giants quarterback if there ever was one. But he looked good.
We already got our guy, so, you know, you don't wish that evil on me. So.
And then C.J. Daniels with the catch of the year already.
Dude, that shit was locked insane.
Locked up already. That was
disgusting.
If they're going to be able to run the football like they are, and Malachi Toney and C.J. Daniels are going to do their things on the outside, I mean, especially Toney being a surprise, I don't think anybody thought he was going to play as much as he did and then show out the way he did. Miami's going to be a scary fucking team, man. Which, hey, Clemson may shit the bed for the ACC, but Florida State and Miami, like, can we get that rivalry back to, like, where it used to be? Oh, please. college football is going to be in heaven if we can get that baby back.
Right. All right. And the last thing I got on here is Iowa. 34 points, bro.
No. No, I mean, not going to talk about this.
I just want to say that was like, what, your last two seasons total in one game? Like, I mean, come on.
Do you see the passing totals?
Not.
Okay. That's all I got to.
Still not good.
Still not good, man.
I saw the points and I got excited for you.
I'll say this. Gronowski looked better than Cade McNamara ever did. But still, he missed a wide open receiver in the end zone. Like, he Arch Manning'd it, skipped it to him. We're at like 48 yards passing in the fourth quarter. I'm like, God damn it. And then Moulton went out with a shoulder injury. I don't know what the hell is going to happen here. But for you C2C folks, I don't think a lot of people, I didn't even know who the fuck he was. You know, Xavier Williams, freshman running back for us, got a lot of run, looked pretty fucking good. I don't know if that's going to continue. For whatever reason, I thought I'd see more out of Jazion Patterson. Maybe it was a disciplinary thing, but we didn't see his ass until the game was like out of reach in the fourth quarter, and then he got in there, had run.
I must have missed your game. I went through almost all these games and looking up things. I missed Iowa, but yeah, 10 rush or 11 rushes, 122 yards.
They were pounding the shit out of the football. I mean, we couldn't pass to save our fucking. Good throw to save our lives, but didn't matter what running.
Putting up 11 yards a carry, that's helpful at least.
Whatever running back we had in there was moving. And, you know, the one thing I will say about Gronowski that I did like to see is he's pretty mobile. He's pretty mobile. Mm-hmm. Now probably not like Brendan Sullivan towards the end of the year for Iowa last year, like that kind of mobile, but he can move. He's a big boy too, man. He's like 230, 235 too. So quarterback power is in play. Quarterback power is in play. Yeah, just might as well. Just lean into it. Let's make Gronowski, Tim Tebow. You know, we'll just go back to them old Florida days.
Oh, you love to see it. You love to see
I had high hopes, so man. I took a handful of Gronowski and C2C's, you know, supplementals, and then I took a couple of Iowa receivers later. I was like, this is going to be the year we're going to change, and here we are versus Albany with like 40 yards passing, and I'm going, fuck. We right back to the same tit. Always been. Yeah, literally, we threw for 48 yards the whole game, Dan. That's where we're at. 48 yards. But yeah, Xavier Williams.
Xavier Williams, at least. We got a highlight, at least. That's great. That's good. I missed him on my sheet, so awesome. He is now being added to my watch list. So
I don't know if Moulton's the guy, if he's out there, like for sure. Moulton, Moulton's kind of got that Aaron Jones to him. He's a little bit thicker. Jazion Patterson was going to be the change-up guy, but like I said, I don't know what the hell was going on, whether it was a disciplinary thing. You didn't see him until late fourth quarter, but Xavier Williams and Terrell Washington both stepped up and played really, really well. So it'd be interesting to kind of see how that running back breakdown works out.
Yeah.
If Moulton was going to miss any time, could be some early season priority ads right there. Xavier Williams first, in my opinion, then Terrell Washington.
Cool. That's awesome. Well, how about we move into some top weekly performers then from each position?
Let's do it, man.
Do that next. So start with quarterback, and then I just pulled up the top 20. So just with basic scoring, no bonuses or anything. So but first up, we got Talen Green from Arkansas.
He went nuts.
Yeah, he was number one on the week.
He went fucking nuts.
Then we had Haynes King. And then we had...
He makes me flaccid.
Man, these names, by the way, if I mess them up, I'm sorry. So we got Bo Prabula. Prabula? Yeah, he's from Mizzou.
The other guy that he was competing with for the starting job, I did see is injured, so it's going to be Bo's job. Yeah, he's a transfer from Penn State. He came in special packages last year quite a bit, played for Penn State with Drew Allar. So
sweet.
Bro Pabila showed out, man. He looked pretty good, too.
Yeah, finished number three in the week, so that's not bad at all for coming in.
How about your boy, John Mateer?
Yeah. So Sam Levitt's next. So he ended four. Parker Navarro from Ohio. And then John Mateer from Oklahoma, Evan Simon from Temple, Gunnar Stockton from Georgia, Drew Mestemaker from North Texas, Colton Joseph from Old Dominion, Maverick McIver from Western Kentucky, and this the Delaware quarterback. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. It's Nick Minicucci.
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 Let's go with that. Minicucci.
Minicucci. That's how I've been reading it to myself. So now I've messed my whole self up. It's bad.
He's got a Minicucci.
We got a Minicucci going on. So
it's like that Alan Jackson.
I hope he's something. I want to say that every week. And then we got Ethan Basco from Liberty, Marcel Reed from Texas A&M, Barrett Bachmeyer from BYU, Braxton Woodson from Navy, Devin Dampier from Utah, Jackson Arnold from Auburn, Brad Jackson from Texas State, and AJ Swan from App State. So that rounds up our top 20.
There's a couple guys on that list that, you know, kind of depending on where people are at, you know, I see Devin Dampier's 95% rostered. So
yep,
go take a peek. Just go take a peek. He looked really, really good. Last year, I think it was like one of the first or second weeks. I don't remember who New Mexico was playing, but Devin Dampier like announced himself to me. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? And then when I saw him transfer to
week one versus Arizona, or was that week two? Because
might have been versus Arizona.
Because they went bonkers back and forth. That game was insane.
That was like Tet's like 300-yard game or whatever
it was. A quarter of a season in that game.
Yeah, it was. But Devin Dampier, I like that kid, man. You know, if you like Tommy football, Devin Dampier is the West Coast version. But in Utah and that program, they know how to use him, man. And it wasn't like they were playing a super cupcake. UCLA is a decent squad, and Devin Dampier balled the fuck out, man. So I know it says 95% rostered, but, you know, go take a peek just to see. You obviously know Sam Levitt's rostered, right? Like the big ones. Yeah. We're talking
the big ones. I have them all highlighted here, kind of the ones that are I basically look for under 20%.
Okay. Who we got?
I got Prabula. He's 21, so, I mean,
Close enough. You
can check. He might be there. We got Evan Simon from Temple. He's 2%, so he's probably out there. He plays Howard next week, though. So I'm like, okay, he's got an easy matchup. But then he has Oklahoma and Georgia Tech and then a bye week. So, I mean, if you're in a low priority, I mean, a low fab or low pickup league, I mean, I'd probably just watch list him and then figure it out from there. I mean, if he goes off again next week and then plays Oklahoma and looks terrible, then I'm probably not wasting a priority pickup on him. Mm-hmm. So he's not huge on my list. Mestemaker, he's 32%. So he's a little bit higher. So most of the C2C crew has been in on him. So he's probably rostered, but even 32%, I'd still at least peak. You never know. And then Minicucci is 1%. So, you know, he's out there, but he played Delaware State his first game. So that is what it is. He's probably not going off again. Evan Vasco from Liberty was at 17, so he could be out there. Marcel Reed from Texas A&M was 17, but he's kind of known, so I doubt he's out there, but he's at 17%. Barrett Bachmeyer, BYU, is at 17 as well. Braxton Woodson from Navy's at 1, so he's probably out there, obviously, at 1%. Brad Jackson from Texas State is at 21, so he could be out there. And Texas State always goes wild when they get into the conference play. And then AJ Swan from App State. He's got a fairly easy schedule. He plays Southern Miss next week, so I kind of want to see him play that game and then kind of make a decision from there. So that's kind of it for the top 20.
I had a couple that I'd highlighted priority ads, you know, across my leagues just to see at the quarterback position, like who was still floating out there. At 9%, Dylan Lonergan from BC, he balled the fuck out too.
Yeah.
Like that's Tommy football's replacement there for Bob.
Yeah, picked him out.
I don't know how many people ended up dropping Jake Retzlaff, but at Tulane now, you know, a little bit of a step down in competition. Jake Retzlaff ball the fuck out. He's at 17% on rostership. Like, might want to go check that one. And then around the C2C circles, everybody knows JKS out there in Cal. But 20% rostership, freshman. Mm. He was throwing fucking piss missiles and darts left and right, man. So, go
check. Yeah, he's probably owned, though, just because of the community that we play with.
Right.
Is going to own him. So, yeah. Fortunately, he's probably owned.
Fortunately.
Okay, wide receivers, I think I got next. Where are you, wide receivers? Yeah, top 20. So we had Bo Sparks from Texas State. He put up 39.2 fantasy points, and he's 7% rostered.
Texas State and their fucking guys, man. Cheap CFF production.
Right, yeah. He had 4 touchdowns, though. So I don't think he's going to have 4 tutties every week.
You don't think so?
Yeah, probably not. But he did. He was 7 for 7 and for 82 yards. So that's solid. And then we know that offense is crazy. So I'd still probably priority add him for CFF. But, I mean, that's 7 for 7. He seems to be the number one target there. And that's always been historically good.
Yep.
Cade Harris was second. He's
from fucking Air Force, man. Yeah, from Air Force throwing the football. What's going on?
kind of. Let me get to that. He's 35.9 fantasy points. He's only 2% rostered. He caught 3 out of 3 targets for 83 yards. So three catches. So I mean, not a lot from target wise, but 83 yards, super efficient. That's awesome. The big thing I like about him, though, is he's a wide receiver slash running back. You could, depending on how your league is, you could start him at either one, and he rushed for 8 times for 66 yards and 2 touchdowns. So it's a nice floor, regardless if you don't think of him as a wide receiver for CFF. At least he's both, so that's nice.
Yeah.
We got Danny Scudero from San Jose State University. He had 33.9 fantasy points. He's 54% rostered, and he's kind of been the known guy, so I doubt he's out there in our C2C leagues, but he balled out, which is always nice. We had Chris Durr from Wyoming. He was 33.1 fantasy points. He's 13% rostered. I think he might be a priority add because, dude, he was 8 out of 10 catches, 190 yards, and a touchdown. He had 198 of their 260 passing yards.
That's pretty good.
That's quite a chunk of the offense.
Not bad.
I mean, obviously, I don't think he's going to go that crazy every single week. But, I mean, if he's commanding that much of the offense, I kind of want that guy. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I'll take that. That's a pretty decent target share, pretty decent yardage share.
Right.
I don't need an analytics degree to figure out that's a good chunk.
That's a good chunk. Keontez Lewis from Oklahoma. I had never even heard of this guy. He led the team with 11 targets. They blew out Illinois State, so it wasn't like a crazy difficult team. I'd like to see if he continues leading the target share. But he had 9 catches for 119 yards and 2 touchdowns. So that's a pretty good case for yourself. And then they play Michigan next week. So that's definitely probably be a decent test to see if he's still continuing.
Most of these we're going to find out are some unheralded, just off the wall, you know, weird schools.
Right? Week one, you never know. But I mean, week two, Michigan, that's a decent test. If he can still start commanding leads of the targets that like he did this past week, that'd be pretty cool.
Hey, once upon a time, Torrey Horton was in this, with this grouping of like, who the fuck's this guy from Colorado State? You know,
right
now here we are, one of my favorites.
Facts. He looks like he might do something in Seattle, so we'll see. And then next guy, Mario Craver, Texas A&M. He had 32.2 fantasy points. He's 24% rostered, and he was kind of known in the C2C. He had a little bit of a hiccup when he transferred over to Texas A&M, but seems like he's back on track. And I mean, I was a huge fan of him as a recruit. He was actually one of the main dudes I targeted. But I did not expect him to come out and lead the team, but he came out and led the team with 10 targets. He went 8 for 122 and 2. What's it called? And I mean, that's pretty good. pretty good. He's really fast. He seemed like a good route runner. Coming out of high school, so I love those little shifty dudes. So
not too bad.
Yeah. So I'm happy with that. Next guy is Cameron Ross. Oh wait, no, I skipped one. Eli Heidenreich, the Navy guy. He's 31.5 fantasy points, and he is 92% rostered. So
look at those triple option teams up here. Yeah, with the running back, wide receivers.
Yeah. The service academies are always interesting with those guys. Cameron Ross is next for Virginia. He led the team with 9 targets. He went 7 for 124 and 1. He didn't really play much in the second half, so he did kind of all that in the first half. So that's interesting. And I'd probably do a low bid on him, but I'm probably not going too crazy. He's only 2% rostered, though.
Throw a buck down.
Yeah. And then and more unlimited budget. Yeah, same thing. Probably like $1 to $3. Cheap production could be something. And then next one is Emmanuel Henderson. Do you remember old Alabama running back, goes to Kansas, comes out to this week and has 31 fantasy points. He's 17% rostered. And he plays Mizzou next week, so that's gonna be more telling. And then I'm probably just watch listening for now as well. Don't really know what to make of him. But what do you remember him back in, like, when it was a Bama? What'd you think of him?
Didn't think shit of him at Bama. Remember? Yeah. Right? But yeah. I will say this. I am a kind of closet Kansas Jayhawks fan. You know my love for Jalen Daniels, right? And that offense, right? And then getting to watch them and watch them play and Emmanuel Henderson balling out as his top target. Jalen Daniels can sling it and put up fucking fantasy points. He can make that Kansas offense go. So I want his number one option. I'll tell you this. I may be wrong, but I'm going out and I'm adding fucking Emmanuel Henderson everywhere in all my C2C leagues. I love it. He is starred.
The dollar's going down?
The dollar's going down.
I love it.
Putting a buck down. Let's go.
Okay. next one was Skylar Bell from UConn. He had 29.5 fantasy points. He's 16% rostered. He's a UConn wide receiver. I'd watch list him. I probably wouldn't spend my buck. I don't even know if I'd really put bid on him quite yet for what's called unlimited waivers. Maybe a Zeal, or if you have space and you just have junk. Next guy's Jace Brown for K-State. He had 28.9 fantasy points. He's 46% rostered, so I really doubt he's out there. But I mean, you can always peek. And these roster percentages as well. They're kind of all over fan tracks, but I mean, there's a lot of redraft leagues and stuff, and not everybody's in the campus to Canton community. So in our leagues, these guys that are like 40, once you're hitting above 20-30%, then they're probably rostered in our leagues, unfortunately. Right. But
our deeper ones almost always.
Almost always. Dude, they're all gone. So we're looking for usually under 20, and that's where we're really trying to find the hits. So the next one up is Katie Hutchinson from Western Kentucky. He had 28.3 fantasy points. He's only 14% rostered. Didn't really know much about him, so I'm just kind of keeping an eye on him for now as well. I mean, maybe a $0 bid if I had to. And then this next dude is Miles Davis, Utah State. And then he had 26.9 fantasy points. He's only 3% rostered. He's a starting running back, but he has running back wide receiver eligibility as well. So I'd be looking to pick him up for the flexibility, especially in our best ball leagues, and he can hit either slot potentially. Then that's interesting. So I like that. Next dude is Kenny Odom, UTEP. He's 42% rostered. He scored 26.3 fantasy points. Then the next one's Wyatt Young, North Texas. He had 25.6 fantasy points, and he's 1% rostered. Now, I don't know if you know anything about this dude, but I've actually been following him since last year because homie just keeps coming out and having huge plays. Like, he just, like, one catch for 60 yards. And as a true freshman, he's a white guy. And I was like, wait, who is this dude? So he was balling last year, and then he comes out week one and starts balling again. So I think it's finally time for me to pick him up. I've been kind of hanging back and waiting and seeing, because I like to compete. So I'm like, I just want to burn a spot for a zero. So, but I think it might be time. Week one coming out and having a roll instantly off the rip. And again, North Texas is that's gold mine sometimes. So I think I'm picking him up, even though he's 1% rostered. So that's nice. This next guy is Cam Vaughn from West Virginia. He had 25.6 fantasy points. He's only 14% rostered. He transferred from Jacksonville State, and he actually followed his coach. Vaughn was a quarterback, I believe, coming out, and he switched to receiver, and he redshirted for a year. And then last year, he led the team with 48 catches, 803 yards, and 5 touchdowns. He's only a sophomore, so he has a few years left in eligibility. So, I mean, I probably would pick that guy up. So, if he's out there, yeah, I'd be interested.
Hot damn, man. Kavorian Barnes just broke off a 75-yard touchdown run right out of halftime.
Bam.
Housed it. All right, fella was moving.
Nice, nice. And actually, the next guy's a Barnes, too. So it's Jaden Barnes from App State. And he had 25.4 fantasy points. He's 3% rostered. I'm probably just watching him as well for now. Some of these first week ones, I'm a lot of them. I'm just peeking at them.
Just peeking.
Yeah. Keeping them in my back of my head. That's why I like to get these names in my head, pull them all up, look at the top 20, watch list a ton of guys. And then a few weeks in, you get a little bit more data and you're sorting through. And that's when you're really starting to make your moves. So next one is Jaquan Gibson from UMass. He had 25.2 fantasy points. He's only 1% rostered. He was 12 of 19 for 132 yards. So that's a lot of targets. I'm probably picking him up because of that target share. If he's going to be their entire offense, I mean, I'm interested. So I like that. Next guy is Omega Black from Arkansas. He's 25.1 fantasy points this week, and he's only 14% rostered, so I'm just watchlisting him as well. And same with this last guy, who's Romello Brinson from SMU. He had 25.1 fantasy points. He's only 1% rostered. So these guys are just watchlisting, keeping them in my mind, and maybe picking them up later.
Nice. Well, I got 3 for you that I put on mine that we're looking at every league, see if they're around. Emmanuel Henderson was one.
Cool.
Another one's playing tonight. Right now, yeah. Jordan Dwyer looks really good. He's the Idaho transfer playing at TCU. And okay. Josh Hoover can fucking sling this thing. It's been his favorite target, man. We all thought it was going to be Eric McAllister just like last year, but Dwyer already at halftime, 7 for 92 and a touchdown.
Whew, at half.
That's not bad. Okay. The other one that I got, Kyron Hudson, USC transfer over to Penn State. He looked every bit of Drew Allar's top target. I had some hopes for Devontae Ross coming over.
So did I.
He didn't do shit.
No.
Trayvor Pena just really doesn't do it for me. He had a decent day, but Kyron Hudson, 6 for 89 and touchdown. I'm looking at guys, especially with these early season ads, just because it's so up and down. I'm looking for bigger programs. I'm looking for top options, and then guys that I actually got to get eyes on and see if they look the part of being a number one wide receiver. If we got any type of NFL talent that we can cultivate. So Hudson's been around for a while. I mean, he's a senior, so it kind of gets gross. But, hey, sometimes we see these seniors transfer into much better situations now with the transfer portal, and a guy like Allar, they need receiving weapons. They use the shit out of him week one.
Facts. Yeah, and especially for NFL prospects, if you're looking for one, looking for the bigger programs for sure. A lot of these guys that spiked week one in that top 20 list, most of them are just CFF guys. Yeah. I'm looking at like target shares, especially targets, because like targets are earned, man. Like, so if you're earning targets out there, I'm interested. It's the 3 for 190, like in like off 3 targets. Cool. You had a huge day. You probably were playing bums, but like if you could demand like 19 targets, you got my attention. So
right, yep. Yeah,
that's what I'm looking at, especially for CFF. And then the last little bit for the wide receivers, I put a little bit of a list together of guys I was looking at that were interesting that didn't fully spike into that top 20, but I still was interested in them. Number one is this guy I've been looking at since last year. He really balled out in that bowl game. Is Marquise Johnson? He balled out against you guys versus Iowa in the bowl game, but he's on Mizzou. He's 16% rostered. He was their main target guy. He went 5 for 134 and a touchdown. He's got some athletes in his athletic profile. So if I pulled it up here, I don't know if you recognize any of these names, but Ted Ginn.
That's pretty decent.
Yeah. Antonio Holmes.
He's pretty decent too.
Dante Stallworth.
He was all right before he got drunk and killed a dude.
Yeah. And Jerome Mathis is another one. So, I mean, there's some athletes, dude. There's a lot of track guys. He ran, 10.18, 100 meter. And it's pretty quick.
Not bad. Quick.
Yeah, he's a fast dude. So, I'm definitely interested in him. He was looking good. Jalen Smith's the next one from Minnesota. He's 1% rostered. He went two. He had two catches from nine targets, which isn't great, but I don't think he was credited with the drop. I think it was all just off target targets, and it was a true freshman. Was it? Is he no? Drake Lindsey's not true freshman, is he? Is he
sophomore?
Sophomore. Okay, but it was his first time, I think, starting, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So first start with the guy, but he had the most targets on the team, and he's a redshirt freshman, Jalen Smith. So CFF wise. You got a lot of eligibility there. He went
be around for a while.
76 nice little touchdown.
Combination so. Too. Young quarterback, young wide
young
receiver.
Young quarterback, young wide receiver. So that's interesting. Definitely, definitely interesting. Next guy. There are two UAB wide receivers. First one's Corey Milliner. He went 5 for 98 and 1. He's 14% rostered. The other one's Iverson Hooks. He's 7 for 73 and 1, and he's 3% rostered. So those two guys are interesting. And then I don't know how to say this guy's name, Naziah Hunter from Nebraska.
Yeah.
Yeah, he went 6 for 65 and 1. He's a redshirt sophomore. He's 18% rostered. He's only available in one of my leagues. So, I mean, I would check. I think I'm just watch listing him. I'm interested. He looked pretty good. Noah Short for Army. He's a running back wide receiver eligible as well. So that's always nice. He had 11 carries for 43 yards and he had 6 of 9 for 81 yards. So just double stacking that with a running back wide receiver eligibility is always fun. But for basketball. And then Amari Hayes, Tulane. He was 9 for 9 for 75 yards, and he's 8% rostered. And then Harrison Wallace for Ole Miss. He was 5 of 8 for 130 yards, one touchdown, and he's 13% rostered. So he should be out there as well. And the very last guy is another North Texas guy, and he's Cameron Dorner. And he went 7 out of 7 for 98 yards and a tutty. And he's 1% rostered. So those are some dudes out there.
Those Texas schools, man. Just chucking the ball. Unless you're actually Texas. Unless you're actually Texas. The only one not holding up their end of the bargain.
Right. Right. So, man, these waivers, we got some options here. That's what I love about T2C is, like, we have – so many dudes to pick from and look through.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, like, when you do this, especially mm-hmm. early in the season, my philosophy, you know, one, if I can actually get eyes on them and see them mm-hmm. play and make my own determination. But two, a lot of these guys, it's kind of just a question of what you're trying to do. If you're trying to build more for an NFL roster, a lot of the guys you listed off, we good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We good. But if you're looking for college production, I think especially with like wide receivers, when we get to the running backs here, mm-hmm. I'm looking at targets and I'm looking at carries and how involved right. were you. right? And I'm just looking at college production. Are you in an offense that generally lends itself to high scoring points? So North Texas, Texas State, like those kind of, those kind of fucking teams. Yeah, you can get some real cheap production here.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. And then sometimes they move up and they actually do have NFL.
Yeah.
Upside. You never know. So now we're doing top 20 running backs. Start off with Justice Haynes from Michigan now. He got out of Alabama. He said, see you later.
Peace.
You're going downhill.
No, I'm getting out of here before shit hits the fan.
Yeah, and what does he do? First game off the rip, he puts up 36.5 fantasy points.
Not bad.
Not bad at all. So finally got to see what we've been hoping for. And then next one is Jonah Coleman from Washington. He put up 32.9 fantasy points. And both those dudes are 99% rostered. So, I mean, they're gone. Robert Henry from UTSA, 31.8. Eli Heidenreich again. He's the running back, wide receiver from Navy. Javon Jackson, UAB. He put up 30.6 fantasy points. He's 22% rostered. So he might be out there. He's like the UAB starting running back, it looks like. Rayshon Luke, Fresno. Put up 29.2 fantasy points. He's only 4% rostered. I don't think he played much, but he did a decent amount of work out there, apparently. He had 29 points. And then another Fresno guy was Bryson Donaldson. He had 29.2 as well, which is funny. They both finished with the same exact one. He's 97% rostered, though. And Kewon Lacy from Ole Miss, 28.8 fantasy points. Yes, and Willis from Syracuse, 27.1. Miles Davis from Utah State. He was the running back wide receiver, so he was already on the other list, and he's only 3% rostered, so he's out there. And then Tay Meadows from Troy. He's 26.8 fantasy points. He's only 2% rostered, and he had 23 carries in that game, 186 yards and a touchdown. He was 8.1 yards per carry, so that's interesting for sure for CFF. Aiden Lowry from Illinois had 26.3 fantasy points. He was 14% rostered. Lincoln Parr from Texas State, 25.7 fantasy points, 34% rostered. Rashad Dabignan. 25.2 fantasy points, 14% rostered.
I like that guy a lot. He used to be at Arkansas. Yeah, he used to be at Arkansas for multiple years. Then transferred down a level. So he's a big boy too.
And went off first game. So nice. And he's only 14% roster. So he's out there. So you watch list him for sure. Look, keep an eye on him. Cade Wolford, Kent State, up 25 fantasy points. He's 0% rostered. So definitely looking at him for later.
Nobody knew who he was.
Nobody knows who he is.
Nobody knows who he is. He did almost all his work on a couple big plays in the receiving game. So he's kind of like their gadget player is what it was. So he's not their primary running back, but he was getting involved early.
Right. Right. Kentrell Bullock, South Alabama. He had 24.7 fantasy points. He's 65% roster. Jaheim White, West Virginia, 24.5 fantasy points. He's 100% rostered. Lucky Sutton, San Diego State University, 24.5 fantasy points, 19% rostered. So he might be out there. He had 22 carries, 200 yards, and 2 touchdowns. What's it called? Jaquez Cross, Arkansas State. 23.9 fantasy points. He's only 10% rostered, but he only had 8 carries for 36 yards and a touchdown. And then he had 5 receptions for 33 yards and a touchdown. So I don't know. That's not great volume. So maybe keep an eye on him. He had a big week, though. And then Dominic Richardson from Tulsa was 21.8 fantasy points, and he's only 5% rostered. So those are our top 20. About to go through some guys that I had targets who didn't quite spike that high. Do you have anybody that you love this week?
Yeah, Xavier Williams. I touched on him already.
Yep.
Just with Iowa. Freshman, too. And you start to put the freshman next to these guys' names, they become a little bit more appealing, right? You can do the long-term play in C2C. Right. Like, ooh, And for freshman week one to get involved that much says something. So him, another one I'll give out, Devon Rice from Kansas State, another freshman. Now, he split carries with the other guy, Joe Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But he played quite a bit. And with Dylan Edwards being injured, looks like he's going to be out again this upcoming week.
Is he really?
Yes. Damn. Yeah. Which, I mean, it happens, man. Dylan Edwards ain't the biggest dude by any stretch of the imagination. So Devon Rice was pretty interesting. And I'll give you one more freshman. Mm-hmm. Guy locked up the starting role right off the rip week one. Jalen Dupree out of Colorado State, 15 carries, 92 yards, and a touchdown.
I actually drafted him.
Ooh, only 3% yeah. rostered, so you're one of the lucky 3%.
I'm one of the ones. I own him. I'm thinking, like, I want to say both. I think all three of my leagues, actually, I might own him. So, yeah. The reason I found him, too, was off the waiver wire. And a lot of what I like to do, especially late in the year, is look at freshmen and their yards per carry. Try to see if I can find some gems, who's been running well. So, but my targets, Miles Montgomery from UCF. He had 21 carries, 79 yards. He had 3 catches for 71 yards. So he looks like he is the RG Harvey replacement. He's doing it all out there. Didn't have a touchdown, so he didn't quite spike up to the big. So people were just looking at the top guys. They might miss him because he's only 16% roster. So he's out there. And he's looking like he's the whole offense. And because he didn't score a touchdown, people might miss him. So definitely look for him. Sam Scott from Wyoming. He had 29 carries for 142 yards. He was running for 4.6 a carry. He's only 6% rostered. He plays for Wyoming, but, I mean, if he's gonna command volume like that, that's interesting. So I'm at least starring a lot of these guys and kind of keeping track week to week, see if I find anything and see if they keep doing what they're doing. Next one is Braylon McReynolds. He's ULM. He had 11 carries for 113 yards. He ran for 10.3 a carry. He's only 5% rostered. And past 3 years, he's ran for like 5.5. So, I mean, he's had limited role for South Alabama, and now he's at ULM. But, I mean, he's always been running good, so that's interesting. Maybe he can keep it going, beating up on bad competition. And then, who else do I actually really like? Kayshawn Owens from, there's actually three guys from this Florida International that are interesting. Kayshawn Owens was first up. I think he's a senior. He's 1% rostered. And he had 11 carries for 71 yards and 2 touchdowns. He ran for 6.5 a carry. He was the first one up there. Then Anthony Carey was he's a sophomore. He is also 1% rostered. He had 8 carries for 49 yards and a touchdown. He ran for 6.1. And then the last guy is another sophomore. And he went 8 for 54 and 1. He was at 6.8 as well. So they were running all over this team. Don't really know fully who's got the job, but there's a lot of guys that are looking kind of good. So I don't know if they were just who they're playing, but they're all interesting. So if somebody actually takes away from the pack, that'd be pretty cool. So Mekhi Frazier is the next one from Michigan State. He is 3% rostered. He looks like he's their main back. He took 14 carries for 103 yards and a touchdown. He ran for 7.4 carry. He's a sophomore. So that could be really, really interesting. Jeremiah Cobb from Auburn. He had 16 carries for 74 yards and a touchdown. He ran 4.6 a carry. Alston got hurt his shoulder. He was the main back, but he got hurt his shoulder. I'm not sure if that's going to be long-term or anything. He didn't really say, so maybe. if he goes down and he gets a full job, then that could be interesting. Cobb could be a pickup. And then TJ Payton, he was a true freshman this year. He only carried the ball 4 times, but he took it 455 yards. So he ran for 13.8 a carry. So that's interesting for a true freshman on Georgia State. Quentin Jackson from Rice. He had 22 carries for 119 yards and a touchdown. He ran for 5.4 yards per carry, and he's only 3% rostered. So it looks like he's the main back for Rice, and he's only 3% rostered. So he's free. He's out there. Yeah. Well, not free. Somebody's probably going to bid on him. But yeah, he's out there for sure. 3%. He's out there. And my very last guy is Quincy Craig. He's from Arizona. He ran seven times for 125 yards and a touchdown. So that's 17.9 yards per carry. He is 0% rostered. It was a blowout game. It was kind of the end of the game. But he's a watch this guy. And it's kind of explosive. So maybe he becomes a thing. But other than that, I think that's it for the running backs that I got targeting. And the last one we got is tight ends.
Woof.
And yeah, this is woof, but this is also important too, because I'm only doing top 10, and you'll see in a second. So we had Dorian Thomas from New Mexico. He put up 29.1 fantasy points. He's 3% rostered. We've already gone through our drafts and everything. This is the number one tight end on the week. He had 14 targets. He had 10 receptions for 71 yards and two touchdowns. He is now Fab Dollars. You know what I mean? So remember when we said we don't care at all about these tight ends in the draft? Like, I mean, I'm going to take some shots here and there, but I really don't care, because I'm going to attempt to grab this guy off the waiver wire who just had 14 targets, and boom, I failed out my position. Peter Clark from Temple. He had 24.5 fantasy points. He's 0% rostered. So that's awesome as well. Benjamin Brommer from Iowa State. He had 23.7 fantasy points. He's 30% rostered. Michael Trigg from Baylor, 22.9 fantasy points, 27% rostered.
Finally paying off, man. All these years I've had Michael Trigg on my roster. Let's go.
Marlon Klein from Michigan, 21.3. He's 18% rostered, so he's probably not out there as well. Jackson Warren, though, from Colorado State. So C2C guys have talked about him, so he might be rostered in some of these leagues, but he's only 9% rostered, so he might be out there. And he had a good week, so that's interesting. Tanner Koizol from Houston, he had 19.3 fantasy points. He's 70% rostered. Terrence Carter, Texas Tech, 19.2, 49%. Sade Trador, Mississippi State, 18.5 or 18.7, 19% roster. And Gabe Burkle from Iowa State is 18.5, and he's only 3% rostered. So there's three dudes on there that are less than 10% rostered, and they were top 10. So they're the least of my priority, because you could have not drafted a tight end. You could have taken two dudes at the end of the draft and then waited for week one and then grabbed four dudes.
Churn and burn, baby.
Just churn and burn. 10% rostered, and you can make it work so easily. So
same boat, that, man.
That's my whole waiver wire section that I had planned. What do you got anything else that we want to talk about for the week, or
no? What do we got week two? What are our biggest matchups here that we got going on?
Honestly, I haven't even looked. College football schedule.
Of course, we got the biggest rivalry in all of college sports. Yeah? Iowa State.
Oh, dude, do you guys play already?
Yeah.
Is it normally this early?
Yeah, it's usually second game.
Second game? Uh-huh.
Yep. In Lames. Fortunately, won't be at Kinnick. It'll be at some shitty stadium.
You're not going to go?
And no, fuck no. I don't want to go to Lames. Gross. nothing but big women and farm animals.
Oh, ugh. My God.
Yuck.
It looks like the only top 25 matchup is Michigan-Oklahoma.
That'd be a fun one.
Yeah. But not too many good storylines. I mean, there's probably obviously good games, but
we're going to have some fantasy performances, though. I mean, South Carolina gets South Carolina State. I hate to see what Lenore Sellers is going to do to a cupcake. Nick Harbor, welcome to college football. He caught one. He caught one.
He plays.
Yeah. He's alive. Plays. He's alive, man. Miami gets Bethune-Cookman. Holy shit. Tennessee gets East Tennessee State. We got a pretty decent matchup, Ole Miss, Kentucky, you know, SEC-wise. That'll be fun. Mm-hmm. And Oregon, Oklahoma State. Now, unfortunately for Oklahoma State, they'll be without Haas. Big Haas. Dan knows all about him from our college football 25 dynasty.
Yeah.
Haas Haney, you know, two-time defending Heisman Trophy winner.
That's awesome.
looks like he'll be out for that game. So that's kind of sucks. Kind of hoping.
Yeah, he's looking pretty good. So that sucks.
Yeah, and Ohio State gets Grambling. So
that's gonna be fun.
I think Jeremiah Smith has 200 at halftime.
Catch the ball again.
Catch the ball.
Forgot how to do that.
Catch the ball. He was a little jacked up. No, we got a few matchups. It's not as good as week one. But we'll have much more fantasy points scored this week. I can tell you that much.
Yeah, it's going to be – should be a fun week. Should be a fun week.
Illinois Duke is kind of sneaky good, too. Duke looked pretty good.
Looked
pretty fucking good week one.
I didn't really watch that game. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it was only versus Elon Musk, so.
I did see that. I laughed. I saw you talking about that. Yep. That's funny.
But. And probably my last takeaway I had, some people who are always been disappointing, still disappointing. I'm still waiting for Micah Hudson to actually do something.
Dude. Yes. Damn.
Transfers back, still does nothing. Just terrible. I hate life. Damn. How'd your teams do?
True, yeah. So I won two and I lost one. So I did okay. How about you?
Let me take a look. Listen, I do a lot of, we didn't talk about it the last episode too, but I play a lot against median league average.
Oh, do you really?
What Fantrax calls it. Yeah.
Gotcha. Which I think Barry's new league that I joined, I think that does have a median. So maybe I won that. Let me look.
We got a nail biter. I got a Josh Hoover going. So I need a few more points from him. It'd be nice. Otherwise that's going to be a loss. Unfortunately. Dominating win against Rip. Sorry.
Hey.
Rip. He just absolutely boat raced him. And what about, I'm going to call it my legal record. Shit C2C 2.0. Another boat racing. Yeah, we up by 150, so we're good.
that's solid.
Hey, man. Hussein Longstreet, you know, got some mop-up work.
Yeah.
He's in my starting lineup.
What did they win? Like 71-0 or something stupid?
73-13.
Yeah. That's.
But
that's,
you listed off some of the guys on quarterback scoring. You know, I got Retzlaff, Evan Simon is in my lineup. Rashad Dubinian in my lineup. Let's go. Of course, Nick Singleton. You know, none of my superstars, Jeremiah Smith or Ryan Williams, did shit. So that's fine. But Michael Trigg. Let's go, man. Tight end. Back. He's back. Fizz, we back up.
Trigg and Aurora. I think I've owned both, dropped both. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's been a love-hate relationship with those two tight ends for the longest time.
Right.
Oh, we're probably the same boat you are, unless Josh Hoover, you know, tosses another couple touchdowns before this game's over. Which they are absolutely fucking boat racing Bill Belichick's team right now.
That's fantastic.
But Jordan Dwyer, the big find.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I'll have to look at him.
8-for-103 and a tutty.
Love it. Love it. Awesome, man. Well, it was fun kind of going all over these guys. And I know a lot of them aren't really NFL prospects, but at least, you know, we can keep some eyes on them, maybe try to win us some money on our college side. So that's always fun, too.
You know, this game didn't go very well for North Carolina when Max Johnson's now starting at quarterback.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yikes. Yikes. We good.
We good. Wait. Isn't it Lopez their starter?
Yep. Yeah. He
I think I have him in the league.
He's got an Iowa stat line through this game.
That's not good.
Yeah, it's not good at all, man. He is
he's 10, negative points.
4-for-10, 70 yards, 1 pick-6.
He is minus 0.8. That's impressive.
Not good. On a plus note, at least Max Johnson's lefty too, so wide receivers are used to it. No matter which shitty quarterback they go with, they'll be catching left-handed balls.
Lovely.
Rip. Yep.
All right, man. It was awesome talking to you. I'm excited for the next one, bro.
Yep, next week.
Next week.
We'll be talking about and actually, Iowa dude, put up 50 on Iowa State.
And we'll have a first week of NFL coming through, too.
Yes, sir.
So, my God, are you ready for that?
Yeah, we'll be doing this while Monday Night Football's going on.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Let's rock.
All right, man. I will talk to you next week, brother.
All right, everybody. We'll see y'all. Make sure you do us a favor. If you're not already subscribed to the podcast, go down, hit the subscribe button, and make sure you check out all our content. We got 3 YouTube channels. They will be down in the description. Go give us a sub. Go give us a sub. Dan, good one. Second one in the books. On our way.
Yes, sir. All right, see you.
See you, everybody.